We're continuing our sermon series this summer on faith, hope, and love, and we spent June thinking about faith, talking about faith. We're turning our attention in the month of July to hope, and our sermon title this morning is Hope for the Nations. As Doyle said earlier, our text for the sermon is a continuation of the scripture passage he read earlier in our service. We skipped over a few verses there, but we're going to pick back up in verse 21 of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. So I invite you to hear the continuing message from the prophet Isaiah as he speaks to the people of Israel in this prophetic sermon that he's sharing with them. Starting in verse 21, chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these things? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. Isaiah's words here, both in the scripture reading we read earlier and our text for the sermon, these words were preached to a nation of people who were under siege. They were preached to people facing deep trouble and hardships. The people of Israel found themselves right smack in the middle of a bloody, hard-fought war. And they were being used in a way as pawns in a high-stakes game of international politics. Here's what was happening. The major players in the world at this time were Assyria and Persia. And they were fighting each other for control of this region of land. The people of Israel were right in the middle of these two warring nations. In fact, the war was often happening in their land, and that was bad enough. But the people then had to face the hardships that come from war. When war is being fought all around you, the people were angry, they were tense, they were frightened, they were concerned. Their way of life was being threatened. Their economy was suffering. The future looked uncertain to them. They were tired and weary, and they turned against each other, and the divisiveness among the people of Israel rose to a very high level. We can understand that situation. This weekend, and especially tomorrow, we pause celebrating our nation's birthday. Our clear thoughts center on our nation. And though we're not exactly in the position of Israel, we're not caught between warring nations. There are some parallels between our situation today and where Israel finds itself in our text. For us, like Israel, war is a constant reality. It is an everyday news item, whether it's Russia or Ukraine or other politically tense situations in this world. Every day we hear about war. Economic difficulties are hurting us. Inflation is raising its ugly head. Our way of life is being threatened. Our future looks uncertain. And none of these things even focus on internally the immense political divisiveness that we live in on a daily basis. Many questions are being asked today. How will we address all of these matters? How will we deal with them? What is our role in world conflicts? Russia, Ukraine, China, Taiwan. What are we to do? How will our actions today impact our lives in the future, both individually and collectively? On this birthday weekend for our nation, many feel concerned. Many feel threatened. Many people are bothered and upset about our future. Where is all of this headed? Some would say, we have never been more divided than we are today. Well, let's be honest. The division, the divisiveness in our country today, it didn't just pop up out of nowhere unexpectedly. We have been a divided nation for quite a long time. In many ways, we've always been divided. But it feels different today, doesn't it? It feels different than in the past. It seems, at least from this perspective, than in the past, the trials and hardships united us beyond our differences. Blue America and red America formed purple. Looking past those things that divide us in order to group around and coalesce around the things that we both and all hold near and dear, things that we all agree upon. But it doesn't always feel that way today. It used to be families chose not to talk about politics sitting around the table. And when extended families got together, if the conversation got heated, then someone would try to veer the conversation away to something that was a little more pleasant and not so destructive. Sure, there have always been tense conversations, but after all, it's just politics, right? But the tone and tenor of conversations today, well, it seems different, especially on social media. It seems so divisive. In fact, today, many people won't speak to other family members and friends. In many cases, relationships have been severed because of different political views. Let me say that again. People won't talk to each other because their politics are different. And let me be clear, I'm not speaking about one political party or the other. This problem is on both sides of the aisle. This is not one political party's problem. This is an American problem. This is a problem we all share today. It is not a problem that one group or one section of our country shares. We all share in this problem today. All right, well, let's get a little more uncomfortable. And now conversations have heated up over the Supreme Court's decision about Roe versus Wade. As Baptists, we pride ourselves in the priesthood of the believer and soul competency of each person in your unique relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. So I don't bring up Roe versus Wade this morning to tell you what you must believe about these matters. I know that statement's not strong enough for some of you. I understand that. But I can't get away, I can't remove myself from this central core belief that I hold in your ability to read the Bible, to pray, to be led through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to form your own opinion and stance about these matters. That is when we are Baptists at our best. Here's my point. I don't bring this up to tell you what to believe. I bring it up to say it's another example of how strongly divided we are as a nation. And what has always been one of our greatest strengths, individual freedom, individual thought, has always been one of our greatest strengths. Today we struggle with how do we have individual thoughts and opinions and yet try to be united when we are so hotly divided. I get so tired and weary of the heated political discussions that take place in this country. But I think that many of us as Americans, many of us on this weekend when we celebrate our country's birthday, many of us feel concerned, threatened, bothered, frightened about the future. So do the people in this text. Our context is different, the situation is different, but the feelings, they're the same. And it was in that context, centuries before Jesus was born, as Doyle said earlier, that Isaiah preached a powerful sermon. For people who were feeling threatened and worried about what was going to happen in the future, here's what Isaiah said: "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." He continued, "God is with you. Do not be afraid." He said, every valley, every low place is going to be raised up. Every mountain, which is an obstacle, is going to be lowered and leveled. Every rough place is going to be smoothed over. Every rugged place will become plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And everyone, all nations, not just Israel, everybody, all nations will see it together. Why? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. In the midst of war and conflict and tension and divisiveness and brokenness, Isaiah had a powerful message from God. Be comforted. Be hopeful. Be full of courage. For the Lord your God is the sovereign Lord who comes with power and strength. You know this is true, Isaiah said. You have been told this from the beginning. God sits on the throne and people are like grasshoppers. God brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Have faith. Be of good courage. Have hope. I know you are tired and weary, Isaiah says. I know you are frightened and concerned. But he continues, listen. Listen how mighty and powerful your God is, Isaiah says. No sooner are the rulers and kingdoms of this earth planted, no sooner are they sown in the ground, no sooner do they take root in the ground than God blows breath. Spirit. God blows on them and they wither. This is your God, Isaiah says. God is in control of the entire universe. Be comforted. Have hope. Listen, I promise you, these words from Isaiah, they were comforting to the Hebrew people. They were encouraging to the Hebrew people. They were frightened. They were broken. They were uncertain about the future. Isaiah's words gave them hope. But they did something else, and we cannot miss this second part this morning. Not only did these words give them hope, but these words also challenged the people, challenged them to be faithful to God during this difficult time, during a time of brokenness and strife and uncertainty and turning against one another. Isaiah's words reminded the people in no uncertain terms that the greatest danger they faced, the greatest danger they faced, was not Assyria, was not Persia, was not Babylon. It was not the military or political powers that surrounded them. The greatest danger they faced was not the threat of war. It was not the economy. It was not inflation. It was not even them turning against one another. No, the greatest danger the people of Israel faced was forgetting the source of their true hope. The greatest danger the people faced was forgetting that they could still be hopeful in the darkest of times. The 40th chapter of Isaiah begins several sermons in which Isaiah preached over and over and over again to these hurting people that the greatest danger they faced was taking their faith and their God for granted. At least twice in this passage, Isaiah says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard?" It was Isaiah's way of saying, "You know this. Come back to your faith. Trust in God. Do not take your faith and your relationship in God for granted, for God is your hope." Isn't that what we need to hear this weekend? We are a tired and weary people. What is the hope for our nation? What is the hope for all the nations of the earth? This weekend, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. We have a lot of things to celebrate. We have a strong military, men and women who are willing to sacrifice their lives so that we can have freedom. We should be thankful for that. We have a rich heritage, a strong legacy of freedom that we want to cherish, freedoms that we hold on to that are important to us and we want to protect. We should be thankful for that. We have a representative form of government, far from perfect, but intended to give us, the people, a voice in what happens. We should be thankful for that. All of these things can and should give us hope. We are strong even with our brokenness and tensions and strife. But my friends, this morning we are reminded, our ultimate hope is not in any of these things. No, our ultimate hope is in God. As blessed as we are to live in this incredible country, as fortunate as we are to have the rich heritage that our nation has, our hope is the same as the hope of Israel in this passage. Our hope is the same as the hope of every other child of God on this planet, regardless of where they live. Our ultimate hope is not in the government. Our ultimate hope is not in our elected officials. Our ultimate hope is not in a president or a Congress. Our ultimate hope is not in a Supreme Court and whatever they decide. Our ultimate hope is not in the laws of this land. Our ultimate hope is not in the great military power or armed forces that we have. Our ultimate hope is not even in our founding documents. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are strangers in this world. We are citizens of a kingdom that is not our own. It is God's kingdom. And that fact, That fact remains our ultimate hope. No matter what happens around us, no matter if you feel positive about how things are in our country or if you feel negative about how things are in our country, either way, God is our ultimate hope. Our future as a people, our future as individuals rests in the hands of God. Isaiah reminds us God is in control. God moves and works in this world in ways that we could never understand. God continues to lead and to guide creation to its ultimate destination. So all of these things, everything is ultimately in the hands of God. Our ultimate hope is found only in the hands of God. The Bible tells us that God is indeed faithful. In the scriptures we read, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I, God, will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. Our true hope, our ultimate hope, is found in turning to God. What other hope could there possibly be? To a tired and weary people, Isaiah preached, "The Lord God is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God will not grow tired or weary, and God's understanding, no one can fathom. For when you need it the most, God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not be faint." That is the word of God for the people of God. That is our hope. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, when the waters roar and the mountains quake, when life feels so uncertain, and the future may even seem grim and difficult, we're reminded of where our ultimate hope is. Lord, give us strength to trust that all of our lives, all of this world, is in your hands. Help us to live every day with that hope. For we make it our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.